Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Welcome to the Hollywood Casino Press Box with your host, Frank Cusimano.
Here's the pitch. Right there, there it is! Into left field! Hit number 3,000! A run is scored! Musial ran first! On his way to second with a double!
The best interviews and the most informed insight.
And that's McGaffey breaking free, has a seam, and a crease! The kicker can't trip him up! Headed for the end zone! Will it be back-to-back weeks? Yes!
All tied together with the experience of over 20 years of local broadcasting excellence in St. Louis.
Now Stasny gets away from a check to Fabry. Wide open. Brower. Rebound. He scores. Troy Brower. The former blockoff has given the Blues a 3-2 lead.
Now, here is Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Good morning and welcome. Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. We are broadcasting live from one of my favorite places. We are at 1860s in Soulard, and this place
has spectacular food. It may be a bar, but it has the great food of a restaurant. And keep in mind this. After the Blues win a game, the next day, lunches are half price. And they have one of the great bartenders of all time, Tammy Joy. She's here. They have Pam. She's one of the greats of all time. It is, when they told me we're going to 1860s, this is the first time I've ever done an anticipation where I normally think about the food, but this time I thought about seeing the lovely Tammy Joy one more time. Charlie Marlowe is very excited, too. We are just thrilled to be here. And if you come by and have some of these chicken strips and these crab cakes, you're going to say this is some of the best food you've ever tasted. There's a whole lot of activities surrounding Mardi Gras and 1860s. We'll tell you about that as the show evolves. We got a good one lined up for you today in terms of guests. Mizzou and Kentucky tonight. We'll visit with the voice of the Wildcats, my old friend Tom Leach, at about 10:30. Chris Kerber on the Blues at 10:45. Doug Elgin is going to come by and spend some time with Martin and myself in the 11 o'clock hour. Now, normally I'm a very optimistic person, but it's not even 10:10 this morning, and all we've gotten is bad news. All we've gotten is bad news. Jeremy Rutherford had the tweet that Vladimir Tarasenko was seen in a walking boot yesterday. Now, let me just say this about walking boots. That can scare you, and you think, well, boy, it's really bad. And it could also just be a precautionary thing. I mean, I remember Javon Best was in a walking boot for a couple of days, and he went out and scored 30 points. We all remember what happened Sunday when Vladimir had that collision and smashed into the boards. Let's hope it's not serious. The skate will begin in about 20 minutes at the Enterprise Center. Then we get the news from Jupiter that they've shut down Carlos Martinez from his throwing program and Marcelo Zuna. Carlos has got shoulder issues, and he's now questionable for opening day. Now, they also say they've kind of moved up Alex Reyes in terms of his development and what they were thinking about doing with him. And then we have Marcelo Zuna. Well, I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, we're paying this guy a lot of money, the Cardinals are, and he's a major league left fielder who may not be able to throw a ball. He couldn't throw one last year. So a lot to discuss today, and we haven't even gotten to the opening monologue, which is brought to you by Gateway Motorsports Park. And let's begin with lap one. I can say this right now. I don't know if I've ever been more excited about a Tuesday night Blues regular season game. Ever. History on the line. The point streak of Vladimir. The shutout streak of Jordan. The win streak of the team. Just imagine this. Think about this for a second. They've been playing hockey for 52 years. By 9:30 tonight, we may be able to say this is the greatest streak in Blues history. And now it's vogue to talk about the coach. I thought Joe Micheletti brought up some great insight when he discussed the difference in the economy of words of Craig Berube and the pontification of Ken Hitchcock. They are dramatically different in a press conference setting, no doubt about it. Then yesterday, more differences in the two were brought out by our friend Kelly Chase.
I think other coaches used to get a little bit maybe rattled if the stars are not happy. It doesn't bother Craig. He's played with enough. He's played with the greatest players in the world, and he's coached them now. It doesn't frazzle him at all. I think there was times where Hitch would get more concerned about what Vladdy was doing, and Vladdy and him would get at it. And even Yosi, and Yosi was a player, and he would kind of like, man, and try and have that sit down, that conversation with Vladdy and try and talk it out. Not just Vladdy, but let's just talk about guys in general, where Craig is like, nah, listen, yeah, come on in. We'll have a talk. Okay, listens. And then he says, okay, here's where I'm going to show you that the warts are. And then he shows you and he says, no, that's what I expect. I expect you to be better. And that's it. And Steve Ott's a great guy for it because a lot of those guys had Otter in the locker room with them. So they know what he's about. So when he talks, it's not like he's giving them the runaround. He was direct as one of the captains, direct, in your face, great teammate, but also didn't, you know, he wasn't fluffing things. There was no puffing one. It was all about direct. You know, this is the reality. And that's how these guys are now. So they hear it. It doesn't matter if you're the fourth line guy or you're the superstar. It's the answer you might not want to hear, but it's the answer that they think. And that's why I think they're having some success is they look within now.
Lap two. Gateway Motorsports Park opening monologue. The goaltender tonight should be Jordan Binnington, but what a nice luxury to have. If you don't start the guy who had the shutout Sunday, well, then you can start the guy who had the shutout on Saturday. I don't know. You know, there's really not a wrong answer, but there's a more correct answer tonight. The correct answer is the guy who's won eight in a row. The next time we should see Jake will be Saturday against the Bruins here, and then come back with Jordan on Sunday in Minnesota. I think that's the way it's going to be played, but Chris Kerber will give us an update at about 10:45. It's great that Jake is playing well, by the way. But Jordan is 12-1-1. It would be like starting a really solid Michael Wacha in the first game of the playoffs or Alex Reyes, who just went 12-1. You have to start the hot hand. And as great as things are for the Blues, there's still Nashville to catch. 6 points behind, 3 games in hand. You play the hot hand, and nobody is more on fire in this league right now than Jordan Binnington. All right, lap three. Ron Jacoba. I interned under him at Channel 5. I listened to him for years at Camo X Radio. One year when Ron won an Emmy, he said, I'd like to thank Jay Randolph for being off so much and doing golf on NBC. The two were good friends. Now Ron's son is fighting for his life. An aggressive form of cancer. You saw what Vladimir Tarasenko did on Saturday in Colorado, spending time with him, signing autographs, taking pictures. I'm not sure how you go on if you think you may be losing your son, which Ron believes he is. Ron addressed a parent's greatest fear yesterday on the radio program, losing their child.
I said, David, I don't have that many years left. I wish it were me and not you. I told him that, absolutely, and I feel that way. My mother told me that. I had a younger brother die of cancer many years ago. And my mother said, you know, Ron, the toughest thing in the world is for a parent to bury a child. And that's what we're facing here. I mean, candidly, I can't deny that. But, yeah, I told him that. I said, you know, you have 30 more years than I have. And, I wish it were me, but it's not, and we can't change that.
Our thoughts and prayers are with the Jacober family and with David Jacober, 50 years old, served this country, and now he is a police officer. He's the father of three children, former soccer player at Vianney High School. All right, lap four. Staying with the subject of dedicated parents, Nick Bonacani. So my first job was in Kingsport, Tennessee. It was a one-mall town. And one of the first college football games I was assigned to cover was East Tennessee State hosting the Citadel in Johnson City, which is about 20 minutes away from Kingsport, at a building called the Mini Dome. Mark Bonacani was a linebacker for the Citadel. He angled to tackle Herman Jacobs of ETSU. He broke his neck, and he's never moved an arm or a leg since. Nick told him a day later in the hospital, I will do everything I can to get you out of this chair. So he started the Miami Project. They now have over 200 doctors and scientists. And Nick has literally raised hundreds of millions of dollars to make it a big success. Nick, who was a Hall of Famer and is a Hall of Famer, is now suffering from CTE. He can talk and remember certain things, but you could tell he has major, major issues, including fits of rage and needs constant around-the-clock help. I was thinking about this the other night after I turned it off, and it's an HBO documentary. It's spectacular. To think what the sport has given to the Buoniconi family. Now, it did allow Nick to have fame and fortune, but just think what football has done to their family. The son is a quadriplegic, and the father has CTE. Let's take a quick listen to part of the doc.
If he points his anger at the league's owners for not giving more funds to help ailing retired players, it's still another complication in the long relationship between the man who got so much from football and the game that in the years since has seemed to take so much away.
It would have been a totally different life without football. Without football, I probably would have joined my father in the bakery business. Football opened up every door I could imagine. It helped me go to law school, it helped me go to Notre Dame, and it helped me in the corporate life too. I loved it, you know. I always loved it, still do. But, you know, I'm paying the price.
When we were growing up, football gave everything to us. And then look what it did to me. And now look what it's doing to him. I mean, do you love the game? Do you hate the game? Do you love it and hate it?
Boy, it's a tough call. You know, it's amazing, too, because when we interview these ex-players and we ask them, was it worth it? 99% of them say it is. I don't know. What if you just spent your life as a banker and you didn't have your son play football and you're 75 years old and walking and playing golf with a sharp mind and your son is moving around fine? Boy, it's tough. All right, lap five. Gateway Motorsports Park opening monologue. Have a thought. I'm a big advocate of working out almost every day. With my appetite, I kind of have to. Anyway, that's the good news. The bad is your body pays a terrible price. If you do anything that is too fanatical or anything for a long period of time, you're going to pay for it. You really are. She just turned 24. My 24-year-old daughter, Brooke, wonderful athlete, golf and basketball all her life. So she needs this competition high in D.C. because she's no longer playing, like, competitively. So she calls Monique and I about 6 months ago, and she says, you know what? I'd like to run a marathon. And you know, Monique said, oh, that's great. And she was wanting my approval, and I just said, why? Why would you run a marathon? I go, the body's not designed for you to run marathons. So she decides to run this marathon, so she's training for it, and she's doing it like in a studious fashion where, you know, she reading these books, her, I don't know, maybe it's online, about how much you should be running each week and as you get closer and closer to the event. So on Saturday, that was her big day. This was the day that she was going to run the most amount in practice. She runs 19 miles for the first time ever. She's building up to the crescendo, getting ready for the marathon, which is, I don't know, maybe 3 weeks away. And then she calls the next day and she says she has a really bad foot issue and tendon issues. She's going to the doctor today. I'm sure it's going to be a stress fracture. Body was not meant to run 19 miles. Get on a treadmill. Swim. Stairmaster. Yoga. Spin. Well, go ahead. Put yourself on there, Matt.
Studies have shown that, like, 5Ks are, like, the perfect amount of, like, long-distance running for, like, that. It's good for you without actually, like, being debilitating like a marathon.
That and you start to plateau a little bit from, like, a health benefit, like burning calories, building muscle. Eventually your body just gets used to it and you stop getting any benefits from running.
And plus, every 5K is for a charity.
Yeah.
So not only are you not, you know, ruining your body, you're helping other people.
Yeah. Brian, what have you done running-wise?
I did 5 miles on Sunday. That was my longest I've ever done was before my wedding, which was about 9 miles. So I'm trying to build back up. But I have no interest in ever doing like a half marathon or a, God knows, a full one. My dad run too full. I don't know why, but he's run too full.
Yeah, I just think you're going to pay a price for it later. I was just telling Monique, I wonder if this thing's going to bother her for the rest of her life. I don't know. I guess people recover from stress fractures, but...
You know me, Frank, that's why I don't run, because I worry about my body later on in life, so...
It's a temple plow, let's be honest.
That and you're too lazy.
I'll forget, yeah.
Yeah, there's other things. You know what I'd love to get into, but I don't think I could, because I've seen my wife do it. I can't do this. Is that yoga? Everybody swears by yoga. Have you guys ever done it?
No. It's a group thing. I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had a girlfriend try to get me to do like yoga and like those kind of things, and that's a new kind of pain that I don't want to deal with ever again.
And then that hot yoga, oh my gosh! Like Monique was in one the other on Sunday. It was 101 degrees.
What? No. What are you doing?
Yeah. But it's not wear and tear on the body, and I guess you're burning calories.
Main reason I'd go to a gym is because it's like a nice solid like 74 in there.
Yeah. All right. Lap 6. Stream of consciousness. Speaking of not staying healthy, last night, Kimalls, we had a little family and friends. Palsy, I was looking for you. How come you didn't show up?
I said, hey, I'm friends with Fred Cusimano, and they said we don't know anybody by that name.
Brian, have you found that cut, by the way? We were looking for it the other day, right?
Oh, I need to find that. The anniversary is in like 2 weeks. We need to replay that.
Fred.
Oh, God. Yeah, when that anniversary comes up, we'll play a nice little montage of Fred.
That's so good. So I had the 2-pound pork steak at Kimalls, and our chef's got, you know, he makes his own barbecue sauce, and it really is cool. Yeah. All right, another item, Martina Navratilova. I'd like to get your take, everybody's take on this one. Martina Navratilova is saying a man who becomes a woman and then competes against women is cheating. And she is absolutely being barbecued for those comments. You know, here's the thing is, if my daughter were competing against a person who used to be a man, I guess I don't think I'd like that either. Guys, let's go around. What do you think? Plowsy, you first.
A lot of red tape with this issue, but if you identify yourself as whatever sex, I think you're able to compete. I'm sure people would frown upon it. I don't approve necessarily, but if you identify and, you know, had the proper procedures and said you were a female, I certainly would let you compete as a female. Again, there's a lot of red tape and... a lot of gray areas to that, but I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Brian?
I guess I just asked the other competitors. What do you think?
Yeah.
Let them decide. I mean, I think it's... I can understand why they'd be against it. There is a biological advantage to being, you know, starting off as a guy and then transitioning over. You do have some benefits to that, but if they're okay with it, let them play.
Yeah, I mean, if somebody wants to transition, I completely understand that situation. But as Brian alluded to, the biological advantage of growing up with the testosterone, especially if we're talking about athletes in their 20s and things like that, and depending on when they transitioned, I mean, as soon as you start hitting like 16 and 17, just the physical, biological effects of testosterone on the male body is going to make that person bigger and stronger across those 4 or 5 years. And if the transition's after that, then we're talking about somebody who is definitely has an advantage in a certain way. And that, I think there's a reason why we, you know, limit things like testosterone across all sports and drug tests for those things, because it gives unfair advantages. And I think that has to be extrapolated in a way.
Yeah, I just think that if you have a daughter playing sports and you compete against somebody who used to be a man.
Yeah.
I could see how
I would have an issue if my daughter was going up against somebody who had tested positive for steroid injection or for testosterone injections. If it was just a regular girl, I'd have an issue with that, because that's an unfair advantage that they're playing with. And I think it's in some ways the same thing.
All right, so those are some thoughts. Let's hear some of yours. We're going to talk a little college basketball with Tom Leach coming up. Broadcasting live from 1860s. 1860s. It is the place to be. Why don't you go ahead and read that? Tarasenko is on the ice?
Jeremy Rutherford on Twitter saying Tarasenko is on the ice this morning.
Good. Come on by. They have the two greatest bartenders of all time, and Pam and Tammy Joy. They have incredible chicken strips, a wonderful menu. We'll be here till 12. Martin will be here at 11. He'll be here till 1 o'clock. So we'll take a short time out, and we're coming right back.